Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
What is the fight and discussion about internet freedom like in Russia, which is said to be not free, ranking 49th out of 65 countries on the Freedom on the Net list? Russia was once completely free, a Wild West zone of bloggers and commenters, until Vladimir Putin declared that the internet was a CIA project and began the effort to monitor and limit social networks last year. VKontakte, a Russian social network styled after Facebook, is now under state control, and its founder was ousted from Russia. But the internet leaks, and from boastful descriptions of military missions in Ukraine posted by Russian soldiers, journalists were able to learn that indeed Vladimir Putin's soldiers were on the ground in Ukraine. This fight for control is documented in a new book by Andrei Soldatov and Irina Borogan, The Red Web, The Struggle Between Russia's Digital Dictators and the New Online Revolutionaries. Andrei says the U.S. government and the Russian government have different styles of high-tech surveillance and very different levels of debate about government intrusion.
The biggest difference is that we do not have in our society political debate about privacy and surveillance. Even after Snowden went to Moscow, we still don't have this public debate. And the idea of the Russian control over the internet is to be focused on a few troublemakers. And here we are talking about targeted surveillance, which is incomparable with what you are talking here in the United States, which is mostly about mass surveillance. And people here are mostly concerned about data collected, maybe unintentionally. In Russia, everybody understands that, yes, the state has great opportunities to collect data, but mostly they already have this list of troublemakers, and they follow and spy on these people. And the problem is that it's extremely difficult to try to get the society to this debate and to explain them why we should be concerned. As the biggest argument in Russia is, if I do not participate in any kind of manifestations, why I should care? And it's still a very strong argument. It's very difficult to explain people why it's a big problem.
There have been a lot of comparisons between what Putin seems to want to do with his territorial expansion in Europe and in Georgia and other places in restoring the old Soviet Union. Comparisons of Putin to Stalin. But in this book, it seems to me that the story that you describe here, the way Putin approaches technology and the internet, he's not like Stalin. He's something different. How would you characterize that?
First of all, it seems that Putin is all about tactical moves. He has no strategy, for example, to expand the Russian presence in neighboring countries. And remember that just 2 years ago, before the Olympic Games in Sochi, the major task of Putin was to please the West, just to show them that good and professional Olympic Games might be held in Russia. And he put lots of effort. His personal prestige was put to prove his point. And suddenly, in 2 days, he was so outraged by events in Ukraine that he decided to launch this offensive in Ukraine. So we think that Putin just react to many things. He always feels that he is on defensive against the West. He really believes in this paranoia about the Western plots. It seems that Stalin he might exploited this idea of paranoia inside of the country, but he had the idea of strategy to spread communism or Soviet influence, etc. And Putin, no, it's all about tactical moves and reactions.
Are most Russians, as far as you can tell, afraid of the government, intimidated by the government, or it's just a matter of working around the government and ignoring the government?
No, unfortunately, the situation is much more serious. Unfortunately, these technical means are used not to actually to block information or to spy on people, if we are talking about surveillance. They are used to intimidate. They are used to send a message to users. And in a country with a post-totalitarian legacy and mentality, ones need to be only reminded of what might happen. That's why the Kremlin is very skillful in giving some examples of repressions. And we have some people sent to jail for expressing their opinions online. We already have the situation that the climate is very gloomy in Russian social networks and people are really cautious in expressing their opinions because they are afraid. So in this situation, the Kremlin is quite effective in intimidating the internet.
So how concerned are you about your own freedom?
The Russian idea of controlling the message is partly, maybe mostly, based on instigating self-censorship. And it's a very widespread feeling among Russian journalists. Because the rules are not clearly defined, nobody knows what might happen. You might only guess what is allowed, what is not. So it's better to be cautious. We try to fight with this feeling, because of course we are all victims of this idea of self-censorship. So sometimes we just think that it's impossible just to keep going. We have professional standards, and we think it's important. That's all.
Andrei Soldatov, co-author of The Red Web, The Struggle Between Russia's Digital Dictators and the New Online Revolutionaries. It's out this fall.